Welcome to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper's Capitol reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison, and Montana Public Radio News Director Sally Mock.
Well, Chuck, the five Republican House candidates debated this week, and one of the five, Ryan Zinke, had to feel a little picked on.
Yes, Ryan Zinke was the target of several of the candidates over some of his stands, and I think particularly Corey Stapleton was questioning Zinke's conservative credentials, whether his talk in the campaign really matches his voting record as a state senator for two sessions. And he was also getting attacked by some of the other candidates. And some of this might be that Zinke, at least according to some private polls, was the leader. Whether he still is, I don't know. But he is definitely getting a lot of incoming from some of his fellow Republicans. And also, as we've mentioned in the past, some of the former Republican chairmen have gone after Zinke, saying he's not really a conservative Republican.
And really, they've gone after him because they have accused him of not being really a good enough Republican. And Zinke followed that with an editorial where he decried the idea of party purity and that he thought there should be more tolerance for difference in the party.
Yes, and you know, this is always a discussion in primarily the Republican Party, whether there's a litmus test that you have to be with the conservative principles on A, B, C, D, E, and F, or if you aren't on C and D, whether you're worthy of the nomination. And the other side of that coin is, well, which candidate is the best one to win in November? And I think some of Zinke's supporters have said, This is the candidate who could win the general election race, whereas maybe some of the candidates on the farther right cannot. We'll see. You know, Zinke's raised the most money in the election so far and spent a lot of it. And his theme is primarily his own background. I'm a Navy SEAL. I'm conservative. That's in shorthand what he's saying. And some of the others are questioning the the conservative claims and matching it up against how he voted.
It's certainly one of the more interesting races in this primary. And, of course, the other interesting race and big race is the Senate race, Mike. And Democrat John Walsh seems to be taking the brunt of attacks in that race.
Yeah, I would say so. We have Steve Daines, who's the Republican House Representative from Montana and the presumed winner of the primary election, and has raised $4 million already. And he's using it to go after Walsh and beat him up already. He's not going to wait for him to win the primary or not. He's doing it right now. And then we also have Walsh getting a little bit of incoming flack from his competitors in the Democratic primary, the one who has enough money to do so, Dirk Adams, a rancher from Wilsall. He has an ad up right now, too.
Well, let's listen to these ads, and we'll start with the ad from Steve Daines.
I'm Steve Daines, and I approve this message.
When John Walsh was the head of the Department of Military Affairs, his agency was criticized for mismanaging tax dollars. Government auditors gave Walsh's agency poor marks. His agency failed to monitor $19 million of federal grants and charged taxpayers for work its employees never did. Now he's in Washington, voting with Obama to put America deeper in debt. John Walsh, failing Montana, following Obama.
And this ad, Mike, tries to paint John Walsh as incompetent.
Well, it talks about this audit that there's actually a couple of audits done when he was the adjutant general, head of Department of Military Affairs, and they were managing, as the ad says, about $19 million in federal grants from the Department of Homeland Security. And it's true that they did ding them for a lot of problems. The main problem was they didn't have a good monitoring program in place. But it should be pointed out that there's never any question about where this money was going. I mean, they know where it was going. It was going to local governments in Montana. It was going to state agencies. So it wasn't like people were stealing the money or grossly mismanaging it, as the ad says. They just didn't really have the proper contract monitoring program that was in place that they were told a couple of years before that they needed to get in place. And so a lot of these problems were fairly minor, like saying they didn't spend the money quickly enough, or that there was a small contract that didn't follow certain procurement guidelines. You know, like I said, it was a lot of things that they weren't doing well and that they fixed under John Walsh.
And, of course, the tone of the ad, though, is very effective because it's got this dire music and then flashing on these sort of accusations. I mean, those attack ads, everyone decries them, but they work.
Well, yes, they do work. And also, probably the most important part of the ad, I think, was the very end where they said, following Obama, this is what you're going to hear the entire campaign. John Walsh, Barack Obama. John Walsh, Barack Obama. This guy's a clone. He's Barack Obama's man in Washington. Yeah, that's, if I was a Republican, I'd do that too.
Well, there's another ad, as you mentioned earlier, attacking Senator Walsh, and this comes from one of his Democratic opponents, Dirk Adams.
I'm just not sure if John Walsh understands how Social Security works.
He's open to privatizing Social Security for young people.
Do you think there would ever be a circumstance where privatization of Social Security would make sense?
I'd have to take a look at all the options, you know, but not for those that are currently in Social Security right now. I could see, you know, maybe if there may be an option when they take a look at it for new employees coming onto the workforce.
Social Security can never be privatized. John Walsh doesn't understand that the young people who pay into the program now are helping fund seniors who draw benefits. You can count on me never to turn your Social Security over to Wall Street. I'll protect Social Security, and I understand how it works. I'm Dirk Adams. I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and I approve this message.
And, Mike, this ad says Walsh wants to privatize Social Security, and that's something that Senator Walsh denies.
That's correct. And I think what happened here is there was a TV interview in Great Falls about a month ago. That's where this statement came from. And it's slightly edited. But even the full version, you listen to it and you go, what does Walsh mean? What's he talking about? It's kind of a confusing statement where he doesn't really state clearly that I'm against privatization of Social Security. Since then, his campaign has told me and said, look, he's against privatizing Social Security. He would never vote to do that. And so I think this moment of kind of confusion or kind of an odd statement he made, they're saying, look, you know, that's here's where our stand is. And also this ad, I think one of the flaws of this ad is that Dirk Adams comes on and starts talking and he doesn't identify himself right at the bat and says, I'm Dirk Adams. I'm a candidate for the U.S. Senate. He does it at the end. So I think someone watching it will see him come on and go, well, who is this guy? And so I think that's a little bit of a flaw. And as far as the statement that Walsh made, I think that statement could come back to haunt him in the future because it is kind of a confusing, ambivalent statement.
Well, that is, of course, as we said, one of the premier races. But, Chuck, there are a lot of races, especially in the legislative races, that are really important for Montana's future policy and decisions. In some of those races, there's no opponent to face in the general election, and so the primary race will determine the winner in some of the local and legislative races.
That's definitely the case, Sally, and particularly in some of these Republican primaries where the so-called reasonable or responsible Republicans, the folks that sided with Democrats on some key issues in the 2013 session, are facing some pretty hard challenges from the right. Lots of dark money is being used by mailers and ads and that sort of thing. So the nature of the Montana legislature could change depending on what happens in these races. They're very important races.
But there is historically a low turnout for primaries, and it's never been easier to vote than it is now, though, with ballots that you can mail in.
That's correct, Sally. And I was just speaking with Secretary of State Linda McCullough, and she said a record number of absentee votes have been sent out to Montanans, a little more than 198,000. We'll see how many of them come in. Historically, primaries are low turnout affairs, and off-year elections, the primaries in those years are even more scarcely voted. And so looking at past statistics, I would bet we're looking at the low 30% range for turnout unless something unusual happens.
Well, we will know next Tuesday. And guys, this is our last campaign beat of the primary season and my last day as news director. But I am going to come back next fall and do campaign beat with you guys because it's too fun to miss.
We feel the same way. I look forward to doing that.
We'll miss you, Sally, but we'll look forward to seeing you in the fall.
All right. Chuck and Mike, thank you all so much.
You've been listening to Campaign Beat, a weekly political analysis program featuring Lee Newspaper reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison and Montana Public Radio's Sally Mogg. Thanks for listening.